Okay, so tonight we're looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And it has to do, I'm calling it man's ignorance, because all the commentaries talked about how that it was Solomon's summation of what had gone before about the futility of things and man's ignorance of the significance of adversity and righteousness and wisdom. And so, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. A good name is better than fine perfume, and the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. It's better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, since that is the end of it all, the end of all mankind, and the living should take it to heart. Grief is better than laughter, for when a face is sad, a heart may be glad. A heart of a wise is a house of mourning, but the heart of fools is a house of pleasure. You may notice that these are in the pattern of the Proverbs, where they will say, something is like this, but something else is different. It's better to listen to rebuke from a wise person than to listen to the song of fools. For like the crackling of burning thorns under the pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This, too, is futile. Surely the practice of extortion turns a wise person into a fool, and a bribe destroys the mind. The end of a matter is better than its beginning. A patient spirit is better than a proud spirit. Don't let your spirit rush to be angry, for anger abides in the heart of fools. Don't say, why were the former days better than these? It is not wise of you to ask this. I have had people ask me, wouldn't you like to go back to being a teenager? I'm going, no, I would never go anywhere near that. Maybe 25. But only if I still knew what I know now. Wisdom is as good as an inheritance, an advance to those who see the sun. Because wisdom is protection, as money is protection, and the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the life of its owner. Consider the work of God, for who can straighten out what he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. God has made the one as well as the other, so that man cannot discover anything that will come after him. Avoid extremes. In my futile life, I have seen everything. There's a righteous man who perishes in spite of his righteousness, and there's a wicked man who lives long in spite of his evil. Don't be excessively righteous, and don't be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Don't be excessively wicked, and don't be foolish. Why should you die before your time? It's good that you grasp the one and do not let the other slip from your hand. For the one who fears God will end up with both of them. Wisdom makes the wise man stronger than 10 rulers of a city. There is certainly no righteous man on the earth who does good and never sins. Don't pay attention to everything people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you. For you know that many times you yourself have cursed others. What the teacher found. I have tested all this by wisdom. I resolved I will be wise, but it was beyond me. What exists is beyond reach and very deep. Who can discover it? I turn my thoughts to know, explore, and seek wisdom and an explanation for things, and to know that wickedness is stupidity and folly is madness. And I find more bitter than death the woman who is a trap, her heart a net, and her hands chained. The one who pleases God will escape her, but the sinner will be captured by her. Look, says the teacher, I have discovered this by adding one thing to another to find out the explanation, which my soul continuously searches for but does not find. Among 1,000 people, I have found one true man, but among all these, I have not found a true woman. Only see this, I have discovered that God made people upright, but they pursued many schemes. So, you may notice he's kind of picking on women there at the end. One of the things about this, as you read through the Bible, you will find that contrary to the current policy that both sexes are just identical, they're not. Men have a purpose. Men act in particular ways. Women, on the other hand, have a purpose, and they have particular ways. And God said, watch out that some woman doesn't lead you astray and away from me. That's what got Solomon in so much trouble. And that's why he's picking on the women. It's because he knows his wives had led him away from the true God, and he's trying to get back.
No.
Okay? He's not necessarily picking on women. He's just saying they have a tendency. Have you ever noticed when you go shopping? When I go shopping, I set my mind to think, you're spending time with Pat, you're spending time with Pat. I don't think about the shopping. Because men don't shop like women. They don't want to look and just, you know, oh, well, let's see all of it. That's about, you know, men are hunters. Men say, this is what I want. Where is it? Okay, I got it. We're done. Okay? That's the way men are.
Not me.
No? You like shopping and stuff, huh?
I like shopping. I like to see it all.
Well, when it comes to firearms and motorcycles.
There you go.
That's pretty much me, too.
Yeah, but Solomon, he's just blaming the women for his own stupidity.
That's right.
I mean,
in actuality, that's right.
That's exactly what it is. He's just blaming the women. He's dumb enough to go along with it.
Women know that they have things about themselves. We won't get into that. That can cause men to be drawn. It was written at one point in a book called The Sword and the Switch, or the
Cross and the Switchblade.
What?
The
Cross and the Switchblade. That one of the girls, when one of the guys had come to Christ, and he was arrested in the midst of doing something, and then David Wilkerson had led him to Christ. And she walked in, pulled up her shirt to expose her breasts, and said, if you go here, you won't get these. Okay? Once again. And guys, once again, the way guys are, it's like, oh, you know, it's, but that's not wise. Wisdom says, find a worthy woman. You want to read in Ruth, that will show you, and they will keep talking about a worthy woman. So, anyway, like I say, I find this book fascinating. He calls himself the teacher and the son of David, so he must be Solomon. He began well, but ended very badly. Ecclesiastes is his reflections on it all at the very end of his life. And I keep saying this every week, so, but you should understand, at the very end of his life, when he left, God had said, no, you strayed, you screwed all this up. So I'm going to snatch 10 tribes away from your son. And those 10 tribes never had a good king. Never, ever. All of them terribly wicked. And in the end, once they had gone to Babylon and come back and all this kind of stuff, and they got together, and all they wanted was David back. What they really wanted was the prosperity of Solomon before he screwed everything up. So he starts out talking about the significance of adversity. First verse says, how you live matters. It's not just a trivial thing. See, if you don't live well, if you don't live for God, you're irrelevant. It's significant. And then he reflects on the brevity of life. It's a flicker. It just got here, and it's going away. Okay? And he always keeps repeating, you didn't have anything when you got here. You're not going to have anything when you left. And all of that stuff you worked for is now going to belong to somebody else. And in the case of Solomon, most of it all ended up not even belonging to his son, because everybody took off and took all their stuff with them and then acted a fool. And then he talks about foolish pleasure is meaningless. You're going out and having pleasure, but you're not following God. One of the things that I've always said, it is a saying that is pretty well associated with me, I hope, because I really truly believe it, is if your will is the same as God's will, you will always get what you want. It's as simple as that. If you go to God and you say, I want this, and that was what he wanted for you to have, he will say, oh good, you're in line with my will. Here, have it. Pat was convinced that I did not need a motorcycle. I was convinced that I did. And she said, no, you just want a motorcycle. You've always wanted a motorcycle. And the next thing you knew, we were ministering to the Harley owners group and to bikers all over the place. And she came and she said, you were right. God had a ministry for you, and you needed a motorcycle to do it. Well, that was the desire of my heart. And then God said, you're right. Go get a motorcycle. And it was hard to convince Pat of that, because she wasn't having these discussions with God. Adversity and prosperity both bring temptations. If things are not going well, you have temptations to try to take over and fix it. On the other hand, if you have prosperity, you have the temptation to say, oh, look, I'm doing well. I don't need to do anything more for God. He's rewarding me for what I've already done. This is in verses 7 through 10. And then in verses 11 to 12, prosperity is beneficial, but only if it's used wisely. I've spoken before about people who have been very prosperous, and they have used it to serve God. And God knows, if I need somebody to bankroll something, that's my guy. I just go to him and I say, hey, I want you to make this work, okay? They're broke. Give them money. Okay, well, you got it, Lord. God's providence is immutable and inscrutable. Now, that's a very interesting phrase that I got out of a commentary. But what it's saying is that immutable means you can't change it. And inscrutable means you can't understand it. So don't try. Just go with it. And then stand there in amazement and say, Lord, I'm amazed. I can't believe all of this turned out right. I've been in situations many times in which I thought, we're screwed. That's it. There's, you know, there's no way out of this. And the next thing you know, something right out of left field. And, you know, I wasn't sure people were going to like us coming here. But I've been told, and last week, a lot of people were telling me about how much they like it here. Please tell these people how much we like being here. Well, I have spoken. We're going to Arizona in May, and I've spoken to Matt Savage, and he's going to come for two Sundays. He may not use Proclaim and all stuff. He may do things differently. But you'll get to meet the pastor of Journey Church and see the heart that he has for people, and particularly people right out in the front of this church, the very people that tend to scare some of us. My philosophy on that, of course, has always been, if it's my time, it's my time, and if it's not, you can't hurt me. That's not necessarily true. I also told the Lord, I don't care if you kill me, but do a good job of it. I don't do pain well. Okay? And then everybody has told me, no, that's probably what's going to happen. You're probably going to die in terrible pain. Luckily, I managed to get out of the military without having that happen. Who knows what may happen? And then we have the significance of righteousness and wisdom. Avoid depending on your righteousness. Now, this is a very interesting thing because people, the Pharisees, were known to be fully convinced that they were totally righteous. And, of course, they felt Jesus needed to be crucified because he was not righteous. He was this evil person who wasn't playing their game. And Jesus came, and the common people loved him, not for his righteousness, but because he was telling them, God loves you. He loves you no matter whether or not you can follow all of these external rules that all of these idiots have set up for you. He just loves you. Right out of left field for no reason that you can even see. Don't depend on your righteousness because you may not always have it. Wisdom, though valuable, gives inadequate protection. You may be very wise and you may be making really good decisions and you may find yourself in a situation where there is no good decision. Wisdom won't help you. What you going to do now, Bucky? You know, and all you can do, the real wisdom, is to depend on the Lord. Okay, Lord, what am I going to do? You tell me, and I'll do it. True righteousness and true wisdom are non-existent. Now, that's not exactly correct, because, of course, Jesus said, there's only one who's righteous, and that's God. Okay? There's only one who is really wise, and that's God. And Jesus, of course, was God. So he was righteous, and he was wise. But the rest of us aren't. Just like we say, you know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And of course, people can come back and say, well, you just told me Jesus wasn't, that he didn't sin and fall short of the glory of God. And you say, no, he is God. Okay? So he can't fall short of the glory of himself. But the big thing to understand is we cannot have true righteousness. God never said Abraham was righteous. Paul makes a big point of this. He did not say that Abraham was righteous. He said it was counted to him as righteousness because he did the best he could do. He believed God. He did what he was told, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. There, Solomon was wise. He was. They said that he's the wisest person that ever lived. And he ended his life screwed up, and the kingdom pulled out of his son's hands. He had a lot of wisdom and a lot of knowledge, but he didn't have enough. He got caught on this one particular thing that drew him away. And the next thing you know, he's worshiping every god on the face of the planet. You know he knew better, but he did it because he wanted to please his wife. So what does this all mean to us? Well, life does not last, so you better live it well. There's a it was a play, and they actually made it into a movie that didn't do very well, but I happened to see it at one point. That's called The Tempest. And it's this one Russian revolutionary, not Lenin or any of that stuff. It was way back when they were trying to get the Russians off the backs of the Ukrainians. Oh, seems like we're back at that again, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But this one guy was named Swaberin. And Swaberin was a lieutenant in the Russian army. And this particular guy who was stirring up all of the problems befriended him. And when they finally were going to go out and execute this guy, he turns to Swaberin and he says, "May you have a long life. Use it well." Pleasure has no meaning. That's an interesting thing to say. But what they're trying to get across here is that your pleasure may bring you happiness, but not joy. And your adversity may bring you joy, but you're not going to be very happy. Pleasure has no meaning. Joy. Joy comes from doing what the Lord says. Both adversity and prosperity can cause temptation. We talked about that. If you have adversity, you may want to try to take things into your own hands and not let the Lord deal with it. If you have prosperity, you may think you're doing well and just kick back and rest on your laurels. Neither one is good. Prosperity should be used well. If you have the resources to help people, you should do it. God cannot be understood or changed. It is as simple as that. It is a classic statement that was made by somebody way back. I've forgotten who it was who said it. I actually heard this at a Catholic university that I was going to before I got in the Air Force. And he said that if we could understand God, he would be useless to us. There has to be something outside the system. It's like I've said before. Time doesn't make any sense. Because no matter how far back you go, you always say, what came before that and what came before that? You go to the other end, what comes next? What comes next? Well, now we can sort of understand the concept that eventually Jesus will come back and there won't be anything coming next. It'll just all pass right on. And we see in Genesis that there wasn't anything and God spoke it into existence. But we can't understand how that could be. If God was understandable, he'd be useless to us. And in fact, he's not actually intended to be useful to us. We're supposed to be useful to him. Don't depend on righteousness. Every time somebody wants to depend on righteousness, they screw up. That's just the human nature. And the next thing you know, your righteousness is gone. Getting it back is pretty easy. You just say, Lord, I messed up. I need you to get me right again. And he'll do it right away. It's like our little thing we said. I don't care where you've been sleeping. I don't know care who made your bed. I already gave my life to set you free. There's no sin that you could imagine that's greater than my love. And it's all yours if you'll just come back to me. Wisdom will not protect you. There are an awful lot of very wise people who have done really stupid things because their wisdom led them off to Never Never Land. Righteousness and wisdom only exist in God, not in us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for having been here tonight. We thank you for bringing an old guy back to us. We'd ask you to take good care of everybody in this church, including Pat and Susie down in Florida. Help them to have a good conference. Go with us in all we do. Make us your light in this dark world. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.